You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and here's a chat about how, just like eating plants, moving in tight pants doesn't have to suck. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. I am over the moon excited about today's sponsor. Friend, this is my dream sponsor. The, oh my God, is this real life sponsor? The sponsor I've been dreaming about since I was a little girl, winning card-giving holidays with her reliable tearjerkers, ending fights with soul-spilling letters left on people's pillows, and surviving college by avoiding all test-taking classes and taking only essay-writing ones. No, this sponsor is not a pen or a computer or those yellow Papermate Sharp Writer number 2 mechanical pencils that you turn the tip of, which I've used religiously for 2 decades. This sponsor is the thing I've been writing up to my whole life. It's my book. My first freaking real life will live in stores if stores ever open up again, but can live on your shelf right this second book. Party in Your Plants, which has been called in an Amazon review as the best plant-based book ever, as well as a cookbook that's way more than a cookbook, and a plant party heaven. Readers have also said that it's the best healthy living guide for your kitchen that you must purchase pronto. And so I'm here to tell you that you can promptly purchase Party in Your Plants, 100-plus plant-based recipes and problem-solving strategies to help you eat healthier without hating your life, anywhere books are safely and sanitarily sold. PartyInYourPlants.com will take you to all the major retailers, or you can just hop your fingers over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, or Walmart to buy yourself and your best friend and their best friend a copy today. That's partyinyourplants.com to grab a copy or 19 of my book that Amazon readers say you must add to your cookbook stack ASAP because it gets all the thumbs ups. Miss Simi Bowditch is a bar instructor, a health coach, the author of Letting Go of Leo, and the smarty yoga pants wearing brain behind Unmeasured. That last one is basically a ballet meets Pilates class, but one that focuses on body positivity and self-compassion, as in diet culture turns of phrase aren't allowed and body punishing mentalities will be kicked to the curb. This chat was all about embracing movement that we love in a self-compassionate way that has nada to do with earning food or shedding cows. This is the podcast episode where we kind of just say it as it is, that there are ways to enjoy your studio or gym or road time because of the joys that come with it. Joys that have nothing to do with weight or body composition. And you know what? Just like healthy eating, your workout doesn't have to suck. For the story on how Simi went from a compulsive exercise-obsessed gal to the one who teaches a warm hug of a body positive bar class, keep listening. Simi, welcome back to the Party in My Plants podcast.
I'm so excited to be here with you. Thank you for having me back.
Tuning in from your bathroom floor. How does it feel?
Feels like 2020.
Oh my God, that's so good. Gold. That was great. I love it. Well, in addition to having a healthy attitude towards, you know, our current lifestyle, we are about to chat about having a healthy attitude towards exercise. And before we get into that, and before we get into what you do now, I want to start at the before. You used to have a really unhealthy obsession with exercise. And we talked about this in our first episode together. But for those who missed it, for those who've forgotten, if there's any updates to it, just tell me your story. Tell me about your unhealthy obsession with exercise and what that was all about.
Definitely. So I, first of all, grew up as a kid without much relationship to exercise at all. I was like super unathletic. I played sports, but sat on the bench most of the time and did it more as like a social thing to be with my friends. I just really was not into any kind of organized sports or movement. I was much happier coming home from school and watching reruns of Sister Sister and TRL. So
TRL.
Yes. And when I got to college, I had a really rough first semester of my first year, freshman year. And during that time, was binge eating a lot. I was experiencing depression. It was a really hard time for me. And I went home from college and my mom took the annual holiday photo of my sister and I, and I saw this picture, and it was just this moment of really recognizing that my body had changed a lot during the first semester of college and that I had gained some weight. And that was really hard for me to see and to accept at the time. I went back to school and a friend suggested that I try running with her. And so we started going for runs, and it was so challenging for me because I had never been a runner before, but there was also something really exciting about it. And I would feel accomplished after, you know, like getting to that next driveway or getting to that next lamppost. And it really started out as this like very innocent exploration of movement and wanting to feel good in my body, coming from a place of feeling very uncomfortable. And never in my life would I have thought that I could have been someone who would have become obsessive about exercise, only because it had not been something that I had enjoyed naturally up until that point. But it really started to become an obsession. And as my body started to change and as I lost weight, I began to feel like I wasn't safe to miss a workout. And I got more and more into long distance running, and my perfectionist mindset really got fixated on like the running schedules, the training schedules.
Yeah. Running is a nightmare if you're a perfectionist. I mean, yes. It is like there's too much to count and clock and chart and track. I can't even imagine. I mean, I'm so fortunate that I'm not. Sometimes I wish I could be more of a perfectionist. I'm not. But I could totally see how if you already lean in that way of being, running is a really dangerous road to run down.
Yeah, totally. And like you said, I mean, there's nothing inherently unhealthy about running. Running is like such a joyful form of movement, and it can be something that people genuinely enjoy and are non-obsessive about it. But it just spiraled quickly and got dark quickly. And like you said, like I was, you know, using like the watch and like trying to shave minutes off my miles and adding on more training plans and then layering in cross training. And it became such a huge part of my identity too.
Wow.
But also it just felt like I wasn't safe if I missed a workout. And after college, I went to law school. There were times where I skipped law school classes to get a run in because I was so scared of like missing it. There were times where I called in sick to work to get workouts in. Like, whoa. It really was incredibly obsessive, incredibly unhealthy. And around the same time that, you know, all this was happening, I was also struggling with my relationship with food. And I think a lot of times movement and food struggles go hand in hand. And when I started to work on healing my relationship with food after law school, movement became part of that healing process. And now, I mean, I have no like negative feelings towards running, but through my journey, I realized that I don't really like to do it that much. Like I like to run around with my kids, but going
it's a little
for
different.
A run, yeah, totally. Going for a run is not my preferred form of movement. And so I've been able to get back to a place where I feel the freedom to tune into like what I enjoy and the forms of movement that I enjoy. But it was, you know, a couple of years of really finding that freedom and that flexibility again after being so rigid and obsessive with movement for so long.
Do I remember correctly that you actually got engaged on a run?
Yes.
I have that because you wrote about it in your book, Letting Go of Leo. You wrote about it so vividly in your book that I like see your run to your engagement, and you told it on your last podcast episode on the show. how fitting, how funny and fitting and interesting. That's how you got engaged.
Totally. Yes. And like I shared before, like the funny part is that my husband faked an injury so that he could propose to me. And I left him injured on the run to go finish my run because I was like so worried about not getting my miles in only to come back and then have him propose very badly.
It's just the perfect icing on the cake of your story. Not that your story yes. is a great one. And I'm so sorry that you went through the struggles, but in now helping people based on the experience that you've had, it's perfect. It just shows how deep this went.
Yes. And I mean, I talk to people all the time who are in that place where I think we can all say that there are benefits to movement, right? Like there are benefits to moving our bodies, like movement can provide benefits, but there's definitely a place where it goes too far and it's no longer beneficial. And sometimes that's physical, but a lot of times, like when I'm talking to people, their struggle, it's this mental, emotional piece where they're engaging in movement in a way that makes it feel like it's impossible for them to be fully present in their life because they have this constant inner dialogue about exercise going on in their mind and where it really does feel like it's robbing moments of their life from them. And I definitely experienced that firsthand.
Yeah. So how, if one's listening and they're like, I wonder if my relationship to movement is healthy or is it unhealthy? What would you say? How does one start to reckon what their deal is?
Well, I think a great way to kind of dig in with your relationship with movement, number one, is just to be curious, not judgmental. And to really be able to say to yourself, like, are there any rules or shoulds that I have around movement? And a way to, if you're like, I don't even know how I would figure that out, ask yourself, is there anything that you use to define, like, quote unquote, enough, or if movement counts? Like, you hear that a lot in terms of like movement and exercise. It's like, well, does that count? And so I think you can be curious with yourself where it's like, what would I have to do for something to count? Like, would it have to be a certain number of minutes? If you're someone who like measures your heart rate, would you have to get your heart rate to a certain point? Does it have to be like X number of a certain type of workouts a week and like Y number of another type? Does it need to be done at a certain time of day? Does it need to be done fueled by a certain amount of food? Like, really get curious with yourself about what does it mean for me for movement to count? And a lot of times when you ask yourself that, you're able to see that, oh my gosh, I do have some rules around movement that I didn't even realize were hanging around there, like a certain number of days a week that you have to move, a certain number of days that you are and are not allowed to rest in between days of exercise, like what makes something a quote unquote rest day versus a movement day, and just be really curious with how you're defining those things. That is such a great place to start. And then I think the other way that you can be curious with yourself around this is asking yourself, if I knew that movement was not going to change how my body looked, would I still do the same kind of movement that I'm doing? Ooh. And a lot of times we realize that we're doing movement not because we enjoy it, not because of the way that it makes us feel, but because of more like body image stuff and more of this desire to quote unquote fix our bodies. And so that's a really helpful way to be curious. And then I think the last thing that is a really helpful tool is getting curious with your relationship with rest. So what is it like for you to maybe have like scheduled to work out and then to have something that pops up in your day that kind of throws your day for a loop and you're maybe not able to do that workout that you had planned? Like, what does that feel like for you? What thoughts come up for you? What feelings come up for you? Like, what is that like? And then, you know, maybe something comes up and throws a wrench in your day, things get switched around, you're not able to work out, or maybe you just wake up and you feel totally exhausted, you really need rest. Like, what is that like for you to process? What I know is that our relationship with rest can tell us a lot about our relationship with movement. And it even goes deeper than physical movement, but even just the idea of productivity versus rest. So many of us have our worth wrapped up in our productivity, and that extends to our relationship with movement as well. Mm. And we feel like more worthy if we are doing more, and that can translate to our relationship with movement as well.
Totally. Oh my God. Those are three dynamite things to ponder. I mean, I feel like we could press end on this recording right now and people would be better off.
Totally.
That's dynamite. I mean, the counting thing is so, it gave me chills a little bit. Like, I can't even tell you how many times my husband has said that an exercise only counts if he's sore.
Yeah.
Or if he sweats.
I felt both of those things like back in the day, and I hear that all the time.
I mean, yeah. And that's, wow. It's just so fascinating to really ask yourself that question. And it's also like, what doesn't count? You know, there's times where you mm-hmm. might do something, you're like, oh, but that didn't really count as exercise because I didn't do X, Y, Z, A, B, C.
Totally.
And what's so fascinating is that at the top of this conversation, you said that you weren't into movement growing up. And I feel that in a way, it's unfair slash sucks that if that's not an interest of yours, you're kind of forced by societal pressure and diet culture to do it because you should. And there it goes back to the shoulds, right? You should exercise because that's what you do to get XYZ result. But that would be like someone telling me that I should paint because it'll give me XYZ thing. But I never grew up liking art. That's not something I, you know, my best friend loved to make, you know, friendship bracelets. And I would just sit with her at the like lemonade stand type of thing where in the summer she would just sell her friendship bracelets like lemonade stand style. But I was never forced to do that. No one ever said, if you make friendship bracelets, like your quality of life is going to be better. You'll be XYZ result that you want. And it's just a really interestingly unfortunate thing that so many people like yourself are kind of forced or peer pressured or some sort of pressure. I'm curious what you think into doing something that really isn't something you desire.
Totally. That's such a like thoughtful reflection. And I would also say that as I'm thinking back on movement as a kid, there were things that I liked to do that were movement oriented. It's just that like around middle school, they were no longer the like encouraged ways to move. So like I loved riding my bike around the cul-de-sac, you know, when I was a little kid. I loved like going for walks and like searching for things in the backyard. I loved swimming at the pool, but like free swim, not like swim team. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've always been someone who's been someone who moves like for leisure, if that
yeah.
works, rather than sport. And
it's just not right. Why are you forced to do sports if you're not into sports? What the hell is that? That'd be like also someone forcing me to play music if I don't want to play music.
Right. But at a certain age, it's like that is the movement yeah. expectation. And I think that's harmful, you know, totally. In two ways. One, it's harmful that people feel that pressure that you're describing. And I remember definitely feeling like not cool enough because I wasn't good at sports. Like that yeah. was something that I definitely felt and experienced. But also on top of that, is this the flip side to it, which was that there were probably a lot of ways that I would have genuinely been enjoying movement, like in those more leisure ways, but they weren't encouraged like past a certain age. And I see that even in adults. I saw that in myself and I see that in clients because of all of the rules that we have around movement. Mm-hmm. It's like, a lot of people genuinely enjoy moving their bodies. They just feel like the ways that they enjoy moving their bodies don't count, so they don't do it.
As exercise.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's, I mean, I'm just revved up here because I just think it's so unfair because I love sports. I was a tomboy, an athlete. Sports have been the love of my life since I could walk. So that's why I move. If somebody forced me to play the trumpet because that was the societal norm, that would be awful.
Right.
You know, so totally. The only reason I work out or exercise is because I genuinely love it. So I just have so much empathy for people like you who have forced themselves into, or had, you don't anymore, obviously, forced themselves into doing something that does take up so much time and energy and mental energy and willpower, like everything, to be someone you're not and do something that doesn't feel good. That's just heartbreaking to me.
Totally. And I love that you just shared that you've genuinely loved sports and found so much joy in them, because I think that that's an important thing to be said, that some people genuinely enjoy, people really enjoy like very challenging like sports and physical exertion in that way, and that's not wrong or bad or unhealthy.
No, it's just like my hobby. Yes. Same as someone else's hobby is trumpet or art, totally. Drawing stuff.
But
painting,
I also think that
paper mache.
With the trumpet thing, I bet there are ways that you engage with music that you enjoy. Like maybe you enjoy
dancing,
playing music while you
like
dance,
bopping.
Or while you cook,
yeah.
Right? And so it's like there are so many ways to enjoy music, and there are so many ways to enjoy movement. Like it doesn't have to be sports. It doesn't have to be sweating
running.
And feeling sore
it's
every
so
single
intense.
Time. Right.
Yes.
There's all these different ways. And I think it's more about pulling back the rules and the unhealthy and unhelpful narratives about movement so that more of us can enjoy more of it in a way that feels good to us, in the same way that it's like, okay, you can enjoy music without needing to play the trumpet.
Yes. Boom. Oh my gosh. I love this. So at the time though, that you were exercising a lot, did people think you were just like, ooh, Simi's really valuing her health. Wow. Go her, go girl. Like, was anyone concerned, or because this is such a admirable trait to have in our society, were you like the one everyone looked to as a model citizen?
99% were the comments about like, you're so healthy, you're so disciplined, you have so much willpower. And that was like the vast majority of the comments that I got and that I received. It was the behavior was very encouraged. It was very celebrated. And of course, I don't have any like negative feelings towards people who encouraged that or celebrated that. Like that is how we are all conditioned to see those behaviors. But there was one time where it was actually another winter break where I came home my first year in law school, and my mom and sister had a conversation with me where they said, like, we are really worried about like your obsessive behaviors, and we think that there's like some unhealthy stuff going on. And I got incredibly defensive, and I remember thinking, I can't believe that they don't want me to be healthy. Like, there was no part of me that thought that I had a single issue with exercise or food, because for a brief moment in time, I was like checking all of the boxes that I feel like for my whole life I had been trying to check. Like for my whole life, I had just felt like, I want to be healthy. I want to be athletic. I want to be eating quote unquote healthy. I want to be losing weight. Like those were desires that I had for the vast majority of my life, you know, since middle school, when I had started, you know, comparing my body to other people's and had started to feel like my body wasn't good enough. And it was something that I had tried to do and tried and then would, you know, I say fail, but I now have all of the information about why like the restrictive eating didn't work and all of that. So I know that it's not truly a failure, but at the time that's how it felt. And finally, during my first year in law school, I became so rigid and so obsessive and was really executing on these super unhealthy behaviors on a regular basis. And there were a handful of months there where I like wasn't binging and all of these things were happening. But, and of course the binges ended up starting again afterwards. But when they had that conversation with me, I really felt like they did not understand. Like, to me, in my mind, even though I was totally distracted from my life, I was so obsessive, I was so anxious, I was so happy that I was getting in all of my workouts, that I was following all of my food rules, mm-hmm. that I was losing weight, that that was the only thing that I could see. And I really believe that they did not understand, like, that I actually was, for the first time in my life, healthy.
Wow. So how did you begin to kind of, like, you just asked everybody to think about what counts, think about their values, think about their shoulds. How did you begin to apply that to your own relationship and then start to shift it?
Well, it was years after that moment that I just described where that started to happen. It was probably almost 2.5 to 3 years after that I really started to shift things. What happened between the moment that I described where my mom and sister were like, this is not seeming right, and mm-hmm. the moment where I was like, okay, I got to get some support and some help, but also some health, was that I continued to push myself to these extremes. And at a certain point, my body was just like, we're not having it anymore. Like, I'm not having this anymore. And I started binge eating on a regular basis, you know, as a response to the restriction that was caused by eating not enough and also over exercising. I had a slew of injuries. I had an exercise induced stress fracture. I was in a boot for a long time. I completely lost my period. Like, all of these things started happening. It was like my body was just rebelling against me. Mm-hmm. And because I was pushing it to these unhealthy limits. And so I look back on my journey and I truly believe that my biggest blessing was binge eating, because I, for so long, had wanted to eat less and less and less and had been so obsessed with that, that the binges were actually what let me know that something wasn't right. I was like, oh, this isn't good. I'm binge eating. I can't control myself around food. I'm eating so much food. I need help. And that was really what started to shift things for me. That was happening. I started gaining weight. I had such low energy for my workouts. I wasn't getting my period. And finally, you know, like, as we talked about before, like, I had this breakdown moment on my honeymoon and my husband was like, you've got to get some support. And so that's when I started working with a therapist again, and then also a health coach. And that's when I started exploring, like, what are all of these rules that I have around exercise and my body and food, and how is perfectionism showing up here, and how am I trying to control myself, and who am I without all of these, like, rules in place? And so there was some time in between there. And I definitely don't say that to mean that you have to hit, like, rock bottom to get support. I hope that conversations like this help people to notice these things sooner in their journey.
Oh, totally. I feel like anyone listening right now that's like, oh crap, I have a should. I have a, this doesn't count unless, like, notice now. Don't go to the, you don't need to wait till you hit the rock bottom. Like, you can tweak that now, which is so empowering and exciting, I think.
Absolutely. Yes.
And how does one start to tweak that?
Yeah. Well,
easy question.
Totally. So I think that, you know, when you start to notice the rules, you know, write them all down. Maybe you've got a lot of them, but when you start to notice those rules, start with one, right? Like, if you have a rule where you feel like you have to work out for, I'm just going to, like, make up an arbitrary rule. If you feel like you have to work out for 30 minutes for it to count, maybe you start playing around with that time a little bit. Maybe you do something for 27 minutes or 23 minutes or another amount of time, and start to just play around with that and notice, like, oh my gosh, that was okay. Like, I survived that. Everything is fine. Like, nothing in my life is, like, worse off because I, you know, ran for 27 minutes rather than 30. Or if you have a rule where a run doesn't count if you walk during the run, maybe you start to challenge that and you're like, rather than pushing myself on this run, I'm going to let myself walk if and when I want to.
Mm-hmm. So it's like debunking your own myths.
Yeah, starting to really create those opportunities for intentional flexibility and breaking those rules in like loving, positive ways and noticing how it feels.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because as a society, we're pretty good nowadays at calling out unhealthy eating habits, eating disorders, that kind of stuff, but we really don't do the same with exercise. What do you think is up with that?
It's so true. I definitely do not think that when it comes to like healing a relationship with food and exercise, that the food piece has to come first. But what I have noticed, I mean, I think you can be doing both at the same time. I think they can be happening simultaneously. I think you can address movement first, of course, like any of those things can be true. But what I have noticed with the women that I work with is that a lot of times they will be kind of secretly like hanging on to the exercise obsession in the background and not even necessarily realize that it's going on in their own relationship with movement. But sometimes it's like, well, if I deal with the food piece, like this is still something that I can hang on to control. And so I think that it often does go unnoticed or unaddressed. And I mean, our society in general definitely has an obsession with certain body types and heightens certain body types over other ones. And, you know, fitness and the fitness industry, part of diet culture is a huge part of that. And I think it's just having more of these conversations where we call these things out and where we talk about how one type of movement is not superior to another. One type of body is not superior to another. And also starting to break down this idea that two people who move the exact same way are not going to look the exact same way. And I really think that there's still this very false thing going around where it's like, here's my exercise routine. Here's how I get my body to look like this. You do this same exercise that I do so that you can have the body that I have. And that is so categorically untrue.
I mean, imagine how many times Carrie Underwood's legs have been Googled.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean,
but like, unless you're the exact same height. Oh, I've probably done that too. I mean, I definitely have. But like, unless I'm the same freaking height as Carrie, like, I mean, there's not a chance in hell that my legs could look identical to Carrie Underwood's legs, even if I get the 5 lunges that she does.
Right. You have a completely, I mean, genetically, like you're completely different, right?
Totally. Like,
there are so many things that play into that. And I mean, I used to spend so much money on fitness magazines to like read that like one paragraph celebrity article where it's like, get abs like this person, get legs like this person, find out this person's workout routine. And it was, I mean, it's almost laughable when I look back and I'm like, it's like these three moves that I was doing in the circuit thinking that I was going to look like Britney
Jessica
Spears.
Alba.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's so ridiculous.
It's completely absurd. Oh, I know. It's ludicrous. I mean, it's literally like saying like, buy the same jacket that, you know, Britney Spears has and you'll sing like her.
Right.
Hi, pardon my interjection here for a sec, but you know what helps my body move it? Sun Warrior. And it's not groundbreaking information that I love Sun Warrior's plant protein powder. You've seen it be the main ingredient in my protein waffles for years. But a few months ago, I got hooked on their newest protein blends called Lean Meal. I've been loving adding 2 scoops of Sun Warrior's Lean Meal. I love their snickerdoodle and chocolate flavors to nice cold almond milk in a shaker cup and sipping that baby up like a milkshake. I've been taking a lot of road trips this fall, and road snacks are hard to come by. So I've been shaker cup and lean mealing on the road, and it's been the gas my tank really needs. Because it's a very solid product with 15 grams of organic protein from organic and fermented yellow peas, organic superfoods, the equivalent of 1 veggie serving and 1 fruit serving, billions of probiotics, literally, a whole medley of mushrooms, and organic green coffee bean for a lovely little energy boost. It's really been a great boost to my days. If you want to get your hands on Sun Warrior's lean meal for 20% off than the rest of the world pays to get their mitts on it, just use the code PARTYINMYPLANTS at checkout on their site, sunwarrior.com. That's code PARTYINMYPLANTS at checkout on sunwarrior.com. I feel like this is a perfect opportunity to just rant about before and after photos for a second.
Yes.
I'm sure you have some thoughts on that. Would you like to start the rant?
Sure. I'm happy to kick off this rant. So I feel like the biggest problem with before and afters is what it says about the image that you see. There's so many problems with them, but one of the biggest issues is that what it says about the image that you see in the before.
Yes, that's the worst part. Yes. I mean, minus the fact that they're all freaking fake, but I'm so with you that part, that's why I would never, never do anything like that. I've never even thought, you know, like, but the fact when you see them online, sorry, I totally cut you off, but when you see, you know, a before and after thing next to each other, and then you see the before and you're like, wait, what the fuck? Like, that's supposed to be bad? That before is supposed to be looked down upon? Oh my God, I can't. That's my rant.
That's exactly what it is. It's literally like saying this version bad. Of this person's body or bodies that look like this are not as good as this other thing. And one, it's problematic for the people who
look like
see
that.
More of themselves in
yeah.
the before, right?
Oh my
like
God.
That, what is that?
That happens to me
to
all
them?
The time. That happens to me all the time. I am someone's before 24/7. Anytime there's a before and after thing that I'm just like swiping on Instagram, all of a sudden it randomly pops up. I'm like, oh my God, I'm the before. I'm always the before. I'm never the after. It makes me feel like shit.
That's exactly what it does. It makes people feel like shit who look at it. But also for the person who's actually in those pictures, like the reality is that all of our bodies are going to change. And so whatever you look like in this moment is not how your body is going to look forever. Now, I can't speak to like the specific behaviors of someone who is taking these before and after photos, but what I typically see, like what is typically surrounded with these before and after photos is that they have adopted a quote unquote healthy lifestyle to make these changes in their body, like a workout routine, a different way of eating. And usually that is some form of like controlled eating, some form of dieting. And what the statistics show us is that the vast majority, like in the high 90% of diets fail, meaning that people mm-hmm. who lose weight with diets gain back that weight, typically plus more within like at the latest 5 years of that diet. So also when I see a before and after picture, I think about all the people who are seeing it and who are like seeing themselves in the before and what that mm-hmm. does to them. Also, I think about the person who's actually in those pictures and how in that moment they feel a sense of worthiness or enoughness tied to how they look in that after picture mm-hmm. and the reality that their body is probably not going to look like that forever. And then what is it going to do to them and their sense of self-worth and enoughness when their body starts to change and they remember how much encouragement and support and how many likes they got when they posted that before and after picture. And now their body is not looking like that anymore, like what that does to them. And I have I've worked with so many women. I have felt that feeling of like, oh my gosh, I got so many compliments on my body when I was smaller. And now my body, like I can't keep my body there because it was unhealthy. Now I'm worried about like what people are thinking. Are they judging me? Do they think that I'm, mm-hmm. you know, less than now? And then like the final issue with it is what do before and afters, like what story or narrative about our self-worth and our sense of worth, like what story and narrative are images like that perpetuating? And what is that saying to, you know, women in general, or, you know, all people in general, about like where our worth comes from? And of course, it perpetuates a false narrative about health too. I mean, You don't owe your health to anyone. You can choose whether or not you want to engage in health promoting behaviors. You're not required to do that, and nobody should make you feel like you are required to do that. But a lot of times the idea that we have around what behaviors are healthy are actually very unhealthy behaviors. Like when I look at my story and I think about when I was truly at my unhealthiest, I believed in my mind that I was being so healthy because of all of the messages that I had received about what is healthy. So it also really, it's so convoluted, and it makes us believe that smaller is healthier,
or totally,
that, like, you know, less fat is healthier. Like, those things are not necessarily true at all. And so it just really, it's like they're problematic on
every level, every single level, for the viewer, for the taker in the future, for the taker in the present. I mean, it's they're toxic.
Ugh. Totally.
I mean, I feel like I keep wanting to say intuitive exercise. That's kind of what's going on here. I know that the last time we spoke, you talked a lot about intuitive eating, but I feel like we're talking here about intuitive exercise. Is that, do you use that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I talk all the time about intuitive movement, and really when you think about what intuitive eating is, it's really about tuning into those inner cues and allowing those to guide you versus the external rules and shoulds. And so it's tuning into your body signals, to your values, to your needs. Like, that's really what we're talking about. And the same is true for movement. It's like when you can let go of those rules and shoulds and pressures and expectations and the idea of like fixing or changing your body, and you can tune in, like, what do you need? What are your values? What feels good to you? What brings you joy? And really being able to move from more of that place is such a game changer.
Such a game changer. So how did Bar come into the picture for you?
So as I mentioned, I had been very into running, and when I started to work on addressing the unhealthy behaviors that had developed around that, it became pretty clear that I needed to take a break from running. Like, it got to the point where it was like, I need for this to not be an option so that I can see how I really truly feel about it. It was just too hard for me to uncouple my need to do it, my need to check those boxes with what I truly like wanted or enjoyed. And so I took an extended break from running. And during that time, like, I was at a meeting and someone mentioned that there was a bar studio in German Village, which is where I live in Columbus. And she was like, there's this bar studio and it's like really close to your house. You should go check it out. And the bar studio is called Studio B Wellness. And I remember thinking, like, no, on so many levels. I was like, number one, no, because I'm like not a dancer. I wasn't a ballerina. I wasn't like, I'm not coordinated. Like, no, bar won't be for me. But I also remember thinking, no, it's not enough.
I was just going to say, it doesn't count. If you're a runner and you're thinking about bar, you are not going to think that counts.
Totally. I'm just like, that's like a, like in my mind, I was like, that's like a, not a real workout. That does not count.
I've had all these thoughts, full disclosure.
Yeah, of course.
I literally, the dancing one, I'm like, I can't point my damn toe. And then like, it doesn't count.
Yeah. I mean, all those things, I was just like, no.
I don't sweat
enough.
Yeah. Boring.
So I was like judging myself. I was judging the movement, like, and all of those things that I think all of, like, it's natural to have those thoughts pop up because, again, like, many of us are walking around with these like ideas and preconceived notions about movement and what counts. And so I had all of those thoughts. And then I was also like, well, I'm kind of want to make friends. And I was newly like back in Columbus after law school. And she said, like, just, you know, go to a class with me sometime. Like, there's a lot of like a lot of women go to the studio. It could be like a great way to meet someone. And so to meet people. And so I was like, all right, I'll suck it up. I'm gonna just go to this class. I'm probably not gonna like it, but maybe I'll meet some people and I will try it out. And so I went to my first class. And the woman who owned Studio B Wellness, who is now a dear friend of mine and like one of the greatest mentors in my life, her name's Nancy. She jokes that like I rolled into this class with like I had a Patagonia fleece on, because at the time, like, it took so much. This is how hormonally like imbalanced my body was. It took so much for me to get warm that I could go out and run in like a down jacket and not break a sweat. Like, my hormones were just so out of balance from all the restrictions. So I roll into this class in like this super thick fleece, and I like came and took the class. And during the class, I just remember feeling like for the first time in years, really probably for the first time, you know, since being a really little kid, that I felt so present in my body moving, because there were all of these little things to think about. Like, she was cueing the way to think about your body and the way to move in your body. And I felt like when I had been running, it was like I was hovering above my body, kind of talking down to myself, like saying really mean things to myself or telling myself like to push harder or you can't stop. And in BART, none of that was happening, because I was just thinking about connecting with my body. It was like, all right, like, feet are here, heels are here. Like, I'm doing this. I'm stacking my shoulders over my hips. I needed to be so thoughtful and present with myself that it was really like I was in my body for the first time in so long.
Wow.
And the class was so surprisingly physically challenging for me, because it was a very different kind of movement. But the coolest thing was just feeling present in my own skin. And I just walked out of that class feeling like a little bit brighter. And I remember leaving and thinking like, I want more of that feeling. Like, that was an incredible feeling to just be present with myself. And Nancy jokes that like, it was a couple months into BART, like going to classes, where I finally like took off my fleece. Yeah. And like, now I feel like I like break a sweat doing like one movement in BART. It's so funny, but it was this like this joke that we could literally see like my relationship with my body and my relationship with movement like changing based on like what I was wearing to class.
Wow.
I no longer needed to be like under a blanket. But it was more than a physical feeling. It was like something mentally, emotionally, spiritually happened within my body during that class. And I really felt connected with myself, which is something that I did not get a lot of at that time. And so I just wanted to go back. And so I started taking classes pretty regularly and became a regular at Studio B, and then ultimately trained under Nancy and became an instructor. And I just loved it. Like, I've done BART through like two pregnancies in like all different times in my life. Like, it's just become such a practice of self-care and self-connection for me. And it's really transformed my relationship with movement. And I think that's because I gave, in that moment, it was like I gave myself permission to do something because of how it felt versus because of all of the other rules that I had about it. And it's really brought such a different level of self-connection and self-awareness and self-compassion for me. And it's such a joyful way for me to move now.
Wow. Wow. So, okay, if you can compare and contrast how you felt in your body and about your body when you were like white knuckling your running versus how you feel doing BART, what would you say? Because I think people need to hear the difference there. Because, and I also want to point out that it is so different for everyone, because what you just described with Bar is how I feel when I run. It is my most connective to myself, to my body experience. I am grounded. I literally smile while I'm running. I'm air drumming, I'm bopping, I'm singing, I'm waving to everyone. Like, it is the highlight of my day. That sounds like it was not the same for you, but maybe you found that with Bar. So can you just compare and contrast again, just very blatantly, so people might be able to hear themselves in your story?
Yes. And what you just said is so true. It's not about the form of movement. It's about how it makes you feel. And yes, that is the most important thing to pay attention to. For me, before, and again, like, it's not that this is running's fault. This is right where I was at. And I was using running as a tool to like perpetuate this. Mm. But at that time, my relationship with movement was all about the fact that I believed that my body was not good enough and that it needed to be essentially like controlled, manipulated, punished, and fixed. Mm. And that is how I came to movement. It was like,
that is so sad.
It is so sad to think about being in that place, but movement really was a tool to try to fix, control, manipulate, change my body. That is what it was about. And of course, much of this was done through the lens of health and being quote unquote healthier. And that was like, you know, one way that I needed to be better. But at the end of the day, it was really about being smaller, because I equated health with being smaller because of all of the aforementioned messages that we get through things like before and after pictures and magazines and all that stuff. So
yes,
now movement is a way that I take care of my body, and that allows me, my relationship with movement, which also includes rest, is a way that I really care for and celebrate my body. And I mean that I truly believe deep down inside that my worth does not come from how my body looks or how I move my body. And I believe that I am deserving of respect and care. And movement is one of many ways that I do that for myself. And because I'm doing it as a way to be respectful of my body and to care for my body, it allows me to move in ways that feel good. And for me, like going for a walk with my family, like that is movement to me now. There was a time where I would have been like, that doesn't count.
Yep.
But now it's like movement helps me to feel mentally clear. It helps me to feel energized. It helps me to feel connected to my body. And any form of movement, whether it's like a dance party in the kitchen, a walk in the park, running around with my kids, or a bar class, like whatever it might be, that I do it because of the underlying like reasons why, not because of the how.
Love it. Love it. That's perfect. And is this what you teach in Unmeasured?
Yeah. So in Unmeasured, what I wanted to do was create a space. So Studio B closed down 2 years ago, and it was like such a bittersweet end because it was such a magical space and I loved taking Bar and teaching Bar there. And it really was, Nancy created like this beautiful community and this beautiful family. And Bar meant so much to me. It meant a lot to me because of the community, and it meant a lot to me because it really, doing Bar and teaching Bar, like brought me so much joy. And after the studio closed and some time, like about a year had passed, I started to think, I was like, I miss teaching Bar and I miss the feeling that I had at Studio B. And I also know that there can be a lot of messages around Bar, just like with any form of movement, that can really like reiterate all of the stories that we hear about our bodies and smaller being better. And Bar, like any form of movement, can be a part of diet culture, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I know how fun this form of movement can be. I know how much it can support like mind-body connection and self-compassion and all of these things. And I want to find a way to share it that honors the work that I do with my clients around intuitive eating and health at every size and body acceptance and all of these things. And so I was like, what if I started a virtual bar studio essentially that allowed people who love bar or who are curious about bar to essentially experience, yeah, if you're bar curious, to experience bar free from diet culture.
Mm.
And so that's really what it is. It's bar without any diet culture in it, because I know for me how healing it was to experience bar like in such a compassionate, loving way. And so I love to share it in this way through Unmeasured, where I get to teach classes that are really geared towards encouraging the people who are taking the classes, encouraging the members to listen to your body, to trust your body, to honor your body, to speak with compassion for yourself, to be wherever you are today, to know that like your worth is not attached to anything that you do in this class, and to really tune into how you feel and what you need.
So how does one know if their bar class or whatever class has diet culture in it? Because you keep saying it's bar without diet culture. That makes me think, huh, what is bar with diet culture?
Right. So if you think about like diet culture messages that are tied to movement, and again, like this isn't exclusive to bar. This can be anywhere. Yeah. And also any movement can be free from diet culture, right? Like it can be there or it cannot be. Mm-hmm. But if we think about diet culture messages that are tied to movement, like any idea like earn it or burn it. So where you have an instructor talking about like earning food or burning food, like that messaging can show up a lot in exercise classes. The idea of elevating one body type over another.
Mm.
So talking about like a dancer's body or like, you know, things like that, where all of a sudden it's become very clear what we're all here to achieve. It's like, oh, I'm here to achieve this like ideal body type. So talking about like making your body look differently, making your body look like an instructor's body, feeling like you need to earn food or burn food, comments like that are ways that you would typically hear diet culture show up in any kind of movement class, not just bar. It's not exclusive to bar.
Got it. And if anyone's actually wondering what is bar, how would you describe that?
Bar is a low impact, like full body movement practice. It's very based in ballet, Pilates, and with a little bit of influence from yoga. And so if you think about like ballet, Pilates, like those are a lot of the movement types that you're going to see. And it's really focused on like a lot of repetitions of smaller movements. And there is
like
a combination.
Pulsing.
Yep, totally. And a combination like so full range movement and pulsing. And then a lot of movements that are done using your own body weight without a lot of equipment. Mm. And there's like a big focus on really like your body working together and strengthening your core to protect your lower back. So it's there's a lot of function to the movement. So making sure that your body is strengthening and stretching and really, really supported through the movement.
I mean, you make it sound so cozy and appealing.
It feels so.
I want to try Unmeasured.
I love that you said that it sounds cozy, because to me, doing a bar class feels like giving my body a hug. That's what it feels like for me. I'm sure there are people who are like, I've done bar and I don't enjoy it at all. And that's totally fine. But for me, I just get so much joy out of it.
I'm going to try Unmeasured because I've done bar. Okay. I tried one studio in the city once. I did not enjoy that. And I tried it at Equinox, which, you know, is just a gym in the city. And I did not enjoy that. But this sounds much more like a hug. And you're a hug. So I'd love to be hugged by you while I pulse my leg up and down.
I would love to. I will totally share Unmeasured with you. And it's like everything is made to be done at home. So I film the classes like at home in my office. They are made to be done anytime, anywhere. And in the membership, there's always 5 20 to 25 minute classes and 5 40 to 45 minute classes.
Wow.
And then there's
every
like
month?
A library. Well, every week the class library gets updated. So every week the oldest 20 minute and the oldest 40 minute class go away and two new ones get added. So the Ooh. Library gets refreshed every week.
Cool.
And then we do pop-up live classes and like via Zoom. So you can join from anywhere. And I make like special playlists and there's form and modification tutorials. And then a library of three 25 minute classes that are completely devoted to stretching. So if you wake up and you're like, hey, I'm just really craving some stretching, there's always those available.
How do you film them? Like on a tripod?
Yeah. So I film them using my iPhone. I got an iPhone 11 Pro and like you can film it using that. And then it's all like uploaded through Vimeo and then like placed inside the membership.
That's so cool, Simi. That sounds just so wonderful. And do you offer like coaching also or like words of wisdom, or are you just kind of infusing that through the bar classes?
Yeah, it's all, there's definitely like encouragement and reminders and affirmations and all of that infused throughout the bar classes.
You are something special. That really sounds wonderful. And what do you say to people who just haven't really yet understood that movement can do things for our bods that doesn't involve changing them? How does one start to reframe that mindset? Like to look for the benefits of movement besides just checking their stomach in the mirror every day?
Totally. It can be such a big shift. I really think that the biggest reframe here is to think about how you feel and how you want to feel and really just start to connect yes. inward with those cues. And that can be from a physical standpoint where it's like, oh my gosh, I feel more open. I feel like I have less back pain. I feel more energized. And it can also be from a standpoint of, you know what, when I'm moving in a non-obsessive way, I have less anxiety. That, I mean, that's true for me. Like if it goes to an obsessive place, it creates more anxiety, but there's this very gentle place where movement actually is really helpful for me with that.
Yeah.
And so thinking about those things where it's like, okay, if I was able to tune inward and see how this feels physically, mentally, emotionally, what shifts do I notice? And what forms of movement give me those different benefits? It's like for someone, they might say, oh my gosh, I feel more relaxed. I feel less stress, things like that. And I know for my husband, like he has a back injury from a climbing fall that he had like many years ago. And when he's moving, you know, a couple of days a week, like the number of times that he throws his back out is like drastically reduced.
Mm.
And so maybe there's something like that for you
yeah.
where you notice like less injury, less things like that. So really tuning in with how you feel.
Yes. Perfect. Perfection. I mean, that's what I've always said about food. That's what I've always said about plants.
Yes.
Plants make you feel stuff. Food makes you feel stuff. Choose your food based on how you want to feel. Same thing
that.
With movement. Boom, shakalaka. Okay, so to ask you about food, what is your favorite plant to eat?
My favorite plant to eat currently is pumpkin.
Ooh, nice one. What's your fave thing to do with it?
My favorite, well, you know, any kind of baked good. We just yeah. made a pumpkin, like loaf, but we did it in a bundt pan this morning and added some chocolate chips, and it was such a great breakfast.
That sounds delicious. Speaking of yummy breakfast.
Anything with pumpkin.
Oh, anything. Yeah. What is your favorite thing to do for self-care right now?
My favorite thing to do for self-care right now is if I can get like, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes and can take like a really, to me, that's like a really long shower only because normally I'm like jumping in and out in 1 minute. So it's like so nice if I'm just alone, I'll play music in the bathroom. I will like light a candle. I'll dry brush. I'll get in the shower. I'll just like really take my time washing my face afterwards. Like I'll put lotion on. It just feels good to have 15 minutes to just take my time having a shower. That's self-care right now during this pandemic with two kids and two dogs and work and everything. I'm just like, can I get 10 minutes to take a shower with nobody in the bathroom with me? That would be great.
Oh, wow. Wow. It's the little things, right?
It's the little things.
Oh my gosh. Okay. What is a book that's inspired you in some awesome way? Besides your book, which everyone should pick up, where's the best way for them to get your book actually? Amazon.
Yep. Amazon's the best way.
Letting Go of Leo. So good.
Well, a book that's been inspiring me lately is Nurture by Erica Chitty Cohen. So I went during this pandemic, I went back to school through Mama Glow to become a doula.
Oh, fun pandemic activity.
Right? A really cool pandemic activity. It's been so wonderful. And Latham Thomas, who is like the, you know, the guide and the leader and the teacher there, she is just like a magical human being. And so I've been reading a lot of books about birth and pregnancy and postpartum. And I loved Nurture. And I also loved The First 40 Days. And so I feel like basically all the books I've been reading have been about that lately. And those are two books that I just adored.
Wow. So are you going to be a doula when, you know, you can, like when it's safe to do stuff?
Yeah, I'm actually already seeing, I already have some doula clients who I've been supporting virtually. So I've had three births at pregnancies and births that I've gotten to like support thanks to technology so far. And
wow.
Yes. And I have another mama who is, she's 42 weeks today. So she's actually getting induced because she's gone as long as she can tonight.
Wow.
So there's that. And so I've started to support doula clients, and it's been so magical, but also such an amazing reminder of just like the wisdom that our bodies hold and how important it is to tune in and trust our bodies and listen to our bodies and like how that extends to every area of our life, you know, and including food, including movement.
Oh my God. What a perfect way to tie it all together, your whole journey. Wow, what a new, neat new chapter for you. That seems so aligned and sounds so wonderful for you.
Thank you. It's been very exciting. And like all of the births are like these little, you know, just like moments of hope during a more challenging time collectively.
Yeah. Oh my God, I would trust you to be my doula. You would be such a good doula. Define a doula if someone's like, huh?
A doula is basically like a pregnancy, birth, postpartum coach. It's someone who is really there to be your support system when you are going through that time.
Are you open for doula clients? Like if someone's like, oh my God, that sounds so delightful. Can they hook up with you now?
Not yet. I'm getting ready. I'm so excited. The end of this fall, I'll have like a new website and I'll have, you know, like a bunch of business changes on there and like new offerings and stuff, which I'm really looking forward to. But
I am waiting until,
so I completed the level one and level two trainings, but part of certification is supporting like a certain number of women with their pregnancy, birth, and postpartum experiences. And so I'm working with people who basically I have past relationships with, either past clients or like good friends, and I'm supporting them. But once the certification is final, then that's when I'll start to offer it more generally.
Boom. Woman that serves.
Yes.
Love it. Okay. So until then, where can people go to get Unmeasured and to just get more of you?
Sure. So my website, cindybowditch.com. You can find Unmeasured directly at unmeasured.cindybowditch.com. And then it's on Instagram at Movement Unmeasured.
Movement Unmeasured. That's wonderful. Simi, thank you so much for coming out today. This was so wonderful.
It was such a treat for me. Thank you for having me back, and like just such a joy to hear your voice and get to spend time with your energy. So thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope this inspired you to really give good, healthy thought to what movement feels good and healthy in your body. Like Barr was the type of sweating that made Simi feel like she was in her body for the first time in so long. Running and lifting weights is for me, and I want to know, what is it for you? You don't have to answer out loud unless you'd like your wireless headphones to know also, but think and then do it with a smile and with a dance move, which you know I always do in my basement gym if you follow me on Instagram. For the show notes, which include spark notes of this episode, plus links to Simi's book, Letting Go of Leo, and her Unmeasured Barr membership, please head to partyinmyplants.com/205. And for 20% off Sun Warrior's plant protein, which is my go-to post-workout goodness, use code partyinmyplants at sunwarrior.com. All right, post-workout smoothie cheers to you sweating joyfully.